Kathy Lee and Company.
Guess who's with me today? As if I don't get enough of her all week long. Miss Hoda Woman Copy herself. Not Dateline Hoda, but Happy Hour
what
Hoda.
What is she talking about?
Your mother had a little problem with that at the beginning.
My mother's like, oh, they're drinking. It's not good. My friends think you're an alcoholic. It's sad. And I tell them she doesn't drink too much. I mean, only here and there. And I, you know.
Well, that you did. That was you before you met me.
Kathy Lee and Company.
Available now.
Available now.
At podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Welcome to Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette. The carnage continues in Iraq. Car bomb shootings, they've spiked again. Bombing shut down a major pipeline in the north just the other day. Prime Minister al-Maliki has just returned from Washington, where he asked for more U.S. involvement, including, of course, weapons, intelligence, and presumably money, too. We'll talk with Ron Paul about Iraq and foreign interventionism right after this.
I'm Ron Paul. I'd like to thank our sponsors. Their support makes these conversations possible.
My business is important to me. Your business is important to you. So when we're hiring, we both want to make sure that we're reaching the very best candidates possible. So where do we post our jobs to find the best candidates? With so many job boards out there, who knows which one will produce the best talent? Well, if you want to fill that position fast with the perfect candidate, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. But I don't have the time, and you probably don't either. But now you can, and without wasting a ton of time. Now you can with ZipRecruiter.com, that is. With ZipRecruiter.com, you post to 40-plus job sites at once with a single click. ZipRecruiter.com also posts your job on social networks like LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter, and now you have big reach. Just post once and watch the qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. ZipRecruiter.com will automatically highlight the best candidates for you, and then you can screen them, rate them, and hire the right people fast. Try ZipRecruiter, free, and find out why they've been used by over 100,000 businesses. Right now, Ron Paul fans can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/Ron. That's ZipRecruiter/Ron. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter/Ron. Iraq has descended into levels of violence not seen since 2008, and al-Qaeda in Iraq looks to be stronger than ever.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And the only way you can look at this as a positive, it confirms that the policies that we've been following, whether it's foreign policy or economic policies or monetary policy, that they're failing. And this makes our point. It's terrible to sort of gloat on failure, but it's reality. And what's happening in Iraq now represents a total failure. This last month, there were over 1,000 people killed, 1,600 wounded, 5,000 killed this year. And we're supposed to, have created a peaceful country. And if you compare, you know, the last 5 years to the last five years under Saddam Hussein, believe me, things are a lot worse. And people say, oh, that means you're defending Saddam Hussein. No, and we don't have to defend him, but we can't. It does mean we have to defend the policies that we've had so far. But this is something that has to be resolved one way or the other. And the Soviets' system of intervention and empire building had resolved. But, you know, that one didn't end very well for their sake, but it certainly ended up well for the world's sake by the disintegration of that empire. And I'm just wondering whether that might be what's going to happen with our empire as well.
You know, Dick Cheney got on TV the other day. I think it was Bill O'Reilly's show on Fox, and he justified the Iraq war once again because he said it eliminated Iraq as a source of weapons of mass destruction for groups like al-Qaeda. Which, of course, as you pointed out many times, was never in Iraq to begin with.
Yeah, it's an absurdity. You know, they weren't there before, and they were strong enemies of the Iranians, which we supposedly don't like, and that should be beneficial to us. And now we're allies with the Iranians. At the same time, the al-Qaeda's in there. There's more violence than ever before. You know what bugs me the most about Cheney is he falls into the category of probably being super chicken hawk. You know, a guy that gets four or five deferments said he had better things to do during the Vietnam War, and he sounds so pompous and so so correct in everything. It's rather disgusting, you know, that these guys who want to send other kids, other people's kids off to war, they themselves, you know, weren't there when they were being called. Of course, that doesn't mean I'm arguing that he should have gone, but he should be more consistent. If he didn't like the war, say so, resist it, but don't support the wars in later years. And that's what happened so often. And I ran into so much of that when I was arguing the case against going into Iraq.
Well, anger against U.S. drone strikes in the Middle East is on the rise everywhere, Dr. Paul, especially in Pakistan and Afghanistan. When are we going to get it?
Well, that's always the possibility because the technology is out there. They know how to make drones, and someday they're going to be bold enough to do it. And Michael Schur, who's a real expert on the Middle East and Al-Qaeda, and who was the lead CIA agent to monitor Osama bin Laden, he argues the case that, you know, the danger is growing. And I agree with him. So far, you know, we haven't had a 9/11, but we have more enemies than ever before. And it's a consequence of the drone warfare. This whole idea that, well, there are 10 guys out there. We know they're bad guys and they'd like to kill us. And they're organizing and they're directing their hatred toward us. Well, they shouldn't be surprised. But they should wake up and start to realize that every time they kill one, it's replaced rather quickly. But the other problem is they don't always kill the so-called bad guys. They kill a lot of innocent bystanders, and all the families are involved. And then they wonder, you know, why there's such hostility toward us. They haven't fully admitted, nor do they understand, I guess, what blowback really means. And that concept has been around for a long, long time. And it actually came out even in the 50s when the CIA talked about the possibility of a blowback from us getting rid of Mossadegh and installing the Shah in Iran. And this has been going on and on. But it's worse than ever now because we're much too generous with the way we throw our weight around and throw these drone missiles around. And I think that our danger is much greater. Our national security is worse now rather than better. And the real political problem here is that we have, you know, so many complaints about compromise, not enough compromise in Washington. But guess what? You know, the compromising endorsement of this policy has been bipartisan, you know, for years and decades, and it was considered unpatriotic to even resist anything. Recently, though, it's starting to change, and hopefully we'll see this change continue because I have been pleased with the fact that the American people spoke out about Obama's plans to bomb Syria. So maybe the American people will start resisting, and I think that's where it has to come from, because the politicians are robots in a way. They will respond if they think they might lose their power or lose their seat. So that's why ideas and the understanding of people are so important, and eventually it will reflect in government policy.
Well, speaking of bombing Syria, there was another Israeli strike, an airstrike on Syria just a few days ago.
Yes, and, you know, you can't say too much about that because you might be accused of being anti-Israel, anti-Semitic. But, you know, they bombed, and their excuse was, you know, actually under other circumstances, it wouldn't be too bad because Israel's close by there. They have national security problems, and they might say that for their national security, they want to deal with this. I wouldn't have a whole lot of problem with that. I might have a personal disagreement, but not a strategic disagreement, because if they see that as a danger and they want to do that, that would be okay. But what if they use our money and our weapons and the promise that if they get into trouble, our support? That's where the real problem is. So our policy creates a moral hazard and allows countries like that to do more than they should. But if they think it's in their national security interest, you know, that is their business. But the other reason why it was so dangerous is they were bombing and trying to destroy weapons that were near the Russian base there, and they believe these weapons came from Russia and would be going to Assad and the government. Now, what if those bombs had gone astray, happened to kill 10, 15, 20 Russians that may be at that base, which is always possible? Who knows what kind of escalation this would be? So I think basically it was could have turned into a very bad thing. And I think they would all be more cautious if they knew we weren't going to guarantee their security and keep giving them their weapons. This is why I argue the case that if we were out of there, maybe Israel and the Saudis might have an interest in working together. And they may both have some problems, but at least they might be able to bring more stability there, and it would be their business. But I think it's wrong for us to guarantee the security of Saudi Arabia because we want a guarantee of getting their oil. And I think it's wrong to guarantee, protection of Israel no matter what the circumstances are. I think our moral and constitutional obligation is to protect the people in the United States and have a strong national defense and, of course, become non-interventionist in the affairs of other nations.
Dr. Paul, when we continue in a moment, I'd like to ask you about the war drums that continue beating for an engagement with Iran, and that's next.
How would you like to do something that's good for you and good for America? Well, you can, just by shopping like you normally do. You see, just about everybody uses Amazon these days, because it's so easy. But from now on, when you're going to shop on Amazon, go to the podcastone.com Ron Paul page and click on the Amazon link there. When you do, a portion of whatever you buy gets kicked back to the Ron Paul Show to help keep the podcast coming and keep us from having to run tons and tons of ads. So we can be selective and focus on getting you Ron's message. So do it. Go to podcastone.com, click on the Ron Paul page, and click on Amazon. The next time you're going to buy something, use that link. You'll be helping yourself because you're buying something you want, and helping America because you're helping keep Ron Paul's messages coming. And there's no extra costs involved. You pay the same price, it's the same Amazon. If you want to help out even more, tell your friends to do the same thing. Go to podcastone.com, click on Ron Paul, then click on the Amazon link. You'll be glad you did.
Well, the warmongers in Congress keep thumping for war with Iran. There was a measure introduced the other day that seems to authorize Obama to go to war anytime he deems that talks have failed. Its sponsors suggest that the idea is so that we don't telegraph when we're about to go to war with an authorization of the use of force resolution, so this would allow us, in effect, to launch a sneak attack.
Yeah, the warmongers never quit. Even, with the hopeful signs with Obama at least reaching out to the prime minister, the president of Iran, which I thought was very positive, the warmongers just get more aggressive. And that's what they want. They want a military takeover. They don't trust them. They're radicals. And, in a way, this week, it sort of some of the Iranians made their point, because those who don't want us to talk, the real extremists, the radicals in Iran, just like in this country, we have them on both sides. Over there, they were saying, well, we don't want you to talk to the Americans. We hate the Americans and this sort of thing. But, I got to thinking, well, I wish they wouldn't do that. And I more or less wish they wouldn't do it. But then I got to thinking, what about on our side? What about, the strong Christian Zionist movement that insists that we do this if for religious purposes? So in that sense, they're the extremists, too, are demanding war and over there. So I think when we get into these fights, we create the extremists. So our intervention over there is fodder for those who would like to be more hateful and extreme and build up more hostility toward us. So, but I think my argument is the least involved we are in telling other people what to do and using weapons, the less violent they would be. And if we're worrying about the violence, we have to worry about those who demand and promote and say that we must go in and precipitate another war. That's what I think is so dangerous.
Dr. Paul, thank you. It's been another great conversation and podcast. Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.